You could be anywhere doing anything, but you're hanging out with us. And we appreciate that. So wherever you're listening and however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting episode of the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in Tom, S as in Sarah, M as in mother. Kennedy Miller.
Yes, sir.
Where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at underscore Kennedy Miller underscore again underscore Kennedy, as in the former president John F. and the former wrestler Mr. Kennedy. Kennedy Miller underscore.
All right. Kennedy, I got a quick question for you, man. You don't sound as upbeat and as excited to be here. You know, you don't have that, you know, that normal, you know, pep in your step. You know what I mean? Like, normally you just sound, you know, upbeat and happy. You know, what's got you down?
To quote the boss from the movie Mr. Incredibles, I'm not happy, Bob. I'm not happy. If you'll just let me indulge for a couple of minutes.
The floor is yours, Kennedy Miller. The floor is yours.
The great Alex Goodwin used to say this all the time. Don't piss on my head and call it rain, because I hate piss and I hate rain. These Dallas Cowboys have urinated all on my head this year. And it started with a couple of drops against the Rams. Oh no, it's just rain. It's just a little bit of sprinkle. Just rain. Then we played the Falcons. And I believe myself that it was rain. Then we played the Seahawks, couple more drops. Then we played the Browns, couple more drops. It's just rain. That's what they tell me. And fast forward to, wow, now that we're here, getting blown out by a team with no name, the football team, and it's just a full-on shower on my head. And Alex, I would rather be a New York Jets fan. I'd rather be a Jets fan, a team that has no aspirations of winning this year. It was no talk that they might go anywhere, no hope. But this, I can't live with this.
Because you know what I was actually about to say?
What?
Of all of the years of mediocrity under Jason Garrett, I think what y'all need to do, y'all need to be more grateful for the coach that you had, right? You know how they always say, you don't know what you got until it's gone, right? At least for Jason Garrett, you would beat bad teams and lose to the good teams. You were too good to be bad, but not good enough to be great. This team over here, for whatever reason, I don't know what's going on, because they've got a whole lot of talent offensively. They are abject. They are horrible. Like, this team never looked like this under Jason Garrett. Ever. They were never laughably bad. Like, Kennedy Miller, I'm going to ask you a question. Have you gone, you didn't go get one of them bags. Get the bag, put it over your head. Get the paper bag.
Because, for one, I mean, the defense has been historically bad. I don't know if losing Gerald McCoy and, you know, they lost Sean Lee's on IR. Leighton Vander Esch was, just came back this game. You know, I'm not sure if those guys would have made this defense somewhat better. But to be as bad as they are, you saw the players calling out the coaching staff. It's an indictment on the players. It's an indictment on the coaching staff. Mike Nolan, this guy has never had any success as defense coordinator, never had one of the best defense in the league. And I feel like, you know, Mike McCarthy just hired him as a favor because he hired Mike McCarthy when he was the head coach of the 49ers. I don't knock it. It's a business. You do what you got to do. You help out a friend. But this is terrible, man. This is and like I said, if I was a Jets fan, I know we ain't gonna win nothing. I know we ain't gonna be good. But this, with the talent that we have, with the money that's been spent on this team contract-wise, it makes no sense. DeMarcus Lawrence, he needs to be arrested for theft. Jalen Smith, as much as I like him, needs to be arrested for theft. Amari Cooper, when games are close and at the beginning of games, needs to be arrested for theft. I know there have been injuries. At this point, I don't even care about people who are making excuses. There is no excuses to be made anymore. They just suck. There is no excuse. I don't care about Lyle Collins being out. I don't care about Tyron Smith, who we already should have been getting a replacement for because he can't hold up. He's a Hall of Famer. He's probably going to make the Hall of Fame. But what, the last 3 years, he hasn't played a whole season? Three or four? I mean, gee, the whole offensive line is done. And then you bring Andy Dalton in, and I hear people say, oh, well, people don't realize how good Andy Dalton was. And said, who? What? What? And so Andy Dalton comes out and looks like the Andy Dalton that I know. And you know what? This I know the team is just dead in the water, no motivation. Andy Dalton gets smacked on an illegal hit, a dirty play. Who fights for him? Who goes up to who fights for him? Where's the team camaraderie? You know what I mean? Like, and one of the commentators said today, he was like, this team just it looks like the flattest team in the NFL. Like, it's not the worst, because obviously we just talked about the talent, but just in terms of how they come out and approach to play the game, I mean, the Jets was beating the Bills at halftime today. You know? I mean, when can we string a stretch of some type of... And I just clapped. And you know who used to clap, Alex?
Jason Garrett.
Jason Garrett. Ladies, I think you can understand this, ladies. He was a man. He wouldn't take you to Perry's. Wouldn't take you to State 48. He would get the job done. But this BBW version of him right here, he just wanna take you for a 4-for-4. That's all. And that's how many wins we might have, Alex, is 4. 4-for-4 with Mike McCarthy.
Look, we have got to stop calling him a BBW version of Jason Garrett, because at this point, that is disrespectful to Jason Garrett. Okay? Now, and let's think about this. You remember when Mike McCarthy was on his way out of Green Bay, and it was all the rumblings about him having issues with Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers changing Mike McCarthy's plays and all this other stuff, and saying Mike McCarthy doesn't know what he's doing, what he's talking about, and all that other stuff. Aaron Rodgers looks like he was right. Like, how they won as much as they did with this dude as the coach, Aaron Rodgers needs a lifetime achievement award. Matter of fact, put Aaron Rodgers in the Hall of Fame right now. Like, don't even wait for the 5 years. Don't wait for him to retire. Put his ass in there right now. Just go to Green Bay right now. Just give him the jacket. Because this dude is horrible.
That's exactly what I was about to say. He really needs to be pushed up on my all-time quarterback list, because of how bad Mike McCarthy has looked in Dallas. Now, the caveat is, Mike McCarthy's not calling plays. They, you know, when they brought him in, Jerry told him, you know, I still want Kellen Moore calling the plays. No. I want Mike, because Mike Nolan's calling that defense. Both of you Mikes, you call everything. Because like you said, he was a play caller in Green Bay. I want you to call plays in Dallas. I want this to be your full show. Because it's a show, Alex. Excuse my language. It's a show. And that's what I was going to say at the beginning of this. So get your bleeping button ready when you go and edit. Okay? Because don't piss on my head and say it's rain and not eat your shit on me, Alex. Losing to the football team? You're shitting on me. Having to beat the Giants by a field goal? That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing.
Having to beat the Falcons on a onside kick. What they doing to you, Kennedy Miller?
Yeah, there was it's just a little bit of drops, and I believed it. I believed it because we beat the Falcons. I said, you know what? It's just a couple of drops of rain. I forgot my umbrella. But it went from piss to shit. And then my quarterback goes down, and you and I both probably understand they ain't gonna pay him. They ain't gonna pay him. I saw you tweet earlier. You think they're going to franchise tag next year?
I think they have no choice. I mean, and here's why, right? So Jerry and Steven have said that Dak is in their plans for the future and all that other good stuff. And I totally believe that. But the thing is, they don't want to pay the price that you would have to pay for a quarterback of Dak's caliber. Dak isn't great, but Dak is pretty good. So, like I always say, Dak is in that Matt Stafford, Matt Ryan range of quarterbacks, right? Like, he is definitely good enough to keep. Like, that's the level of quarterback to where if he gets on the open market, somebody's going to give him the house, the cars, the kids, and the dog. Because he's pretty doggone good. He's got good numbers. The price of the brick for Dak Prescott is going up. Dak Prescott has made himself millions of dollars while sitting on his behind with a cast on his leg. Because without him, this team has no fight. Dak Prescott clearly is the only one with any kind of fight, any kind of pride. Because the rest of these dudes, like at least when Prescott was out there on the field, they'd get down by 41 to 14 or something ridiculous. But they'd keep playing. And that seems like that was him. Without him, they've got no fight. They've got no effort. And all of that, no fight, no effort, that's on coaching. Because how you continue week in, week out, come out here, turn the ball over, play uninspired, look unengaged, sleepwalk through two quarters because it's not on talent. You've got how much money are they paying Amari Cooper? How much money are they paying Ezekiel Elliott for him to be fumbling the ball all over the place? You can't feed Zeke if he's dropping the plate.
And so the thing is, with the way that they're playing, they're positioning themselves to have a top five pick in the draft.
Well, they still might win this division. This may be the NFC East champions.
What do you even look for in the draft? A lineman?
Yeah.
O lineman, D lineman, defensive back. And so the point is, you can fill. There's a lot of ways that you can go in this draft. But like you said, the coaching is the problem. Like the players came out like we're not prepared. You know, it's the wrong game plan. They don't change on the fly. They don't make in-game adjustments. And Jerry's not going to fire, you know, these guys after 1 year.
He should.
He absolutely should.
Yo, Mike McCarthy legitimately. Like, so let's look to the Cowboys schedule right now. So they've got Philadelphia next Sunday on Sunday Night Football. And Lord have mercy, I hope they flex that out. Because the nation does not need to be subjected to that sort of mediocrity for 3 hours. They got the Eagles. They could win that game. Could. Like, there's a very good chance they can win that ball game. Eagles on the road. Then they've got the Steelers at home. Loss. On November the 22nd, they've got at Minnesota. They're sorry. And who knows?
Yeah.
Then on the 26th, Thanksgiving Day, short week, you got the team. Week after that, you got Baltimore, loss.
Oh, God.
Week after that, you've got Cincinnati. That's a winnable ball game. San Francisco, you'll lose.
Loss.
And then you've got Philly and the Giants to close. There's four or five winnable games on this. They could win seven games. Could. Will they? Hell no. But they can win this division with winning six ball games. Because this division is that bad.
These Cowboys, I'm telling you, I've never seen anything like it. I haven't. You're not, because like we said, you're not going to let go of the coach. Like, so what's going to be the difference? What's going to be the turning point? What's going to, what's going to sway the team from this year to next? Because I've already thrown in the towel for this year. Go ahead.
I'll say this, and we got to go to break right after. What's going to change what's going to change the Cowboys? What's going to change the culture and the whole nine yards? That's not going to change until Jerry Jones is dead. Like,
no, yeah.
Until that man is in a box and it's ashes to ashes, dust to dust, this team is going to be the personification of mediocrity. Kenny Miller, I just want you to accept that. Just get that in your mind. Like, don't let them piss on your head and tell you it's rain no more, Kenny Miller. You can taste the salt now, can't you?
Damn it, I miss Jason Garrett. I never thought those words would be uttered out of my mouth. I miss Jason Garrett.
And on that note, we're going to leave it right there. But we will be right back with more of the Game Plan Podcast. Coming up next, we're going to talk about coaches on the hot seat. Who should be safe? Whose seat is getting a little bit toasty? And whose seat is on a full-on blaze? All that and more on the other side of the break. Don't go too far. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Follow the show on Twitter, Game Plan TSM. That's T as in Texans, S as in Seahawks, M as in Miami, like Miami Dolphins. Kennedy Miller.
Yes, sir.
Where can they find you on Twitter?
Find me on Twitter at underscore Kennedy Miller underscore. Again, underscore Kennedy, as in former President John F. and the former wrestler Mr. Kennedy underscore Kennedy Miller underscore.
All right. All right. Going to keep it in the NFL, but now we're going to talk about coaches on the hot seat, Kennedy Miller. So here's how we're going to do this. I'm going to name the coach and name the team. You're going to let me know if their seat should be a little toasty, warm, or should we call the fire department because we got a full-on blaze. You ready?
Okay. Yes.
All righty. Let's get this show on the road. To start off with, the Denver Broncos, head coach Vic Fangio. They are 2-4.
This is Vic's second year?
Yep. Right?
I would say it's warm. I think it just depends on what your expectations are for that Broncos team. My expectations aren't necessarily that high. And, you know, they're in a very tough division. I think the second toughest in the NFL with the Chiefs. And I thought the Chargers would be much better, but the Raiders are competitive this year. I think it's warm. And then you also have to remember the fact that I want to say it was a stat. They've got $58 million of their payroll on IR this year, which is the highest in the league by like $20 million. Like with Von Miller and all those guys that they've got out for the season, you got to expect them not to produce as much as they normally would. So I would just say one.
All righty. I'm going to agree with you there. I think the seat is a little bit warm. But I think, you know, it's not if you lose, it's how you lose. So they lost by 30 today to the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs put up 43 points on them, right? Tampa Bay lost by 18. They were competitive against New England last week. But, you know, they got a couple of games next up against, you know, the Raiders, the Saints. They got to see the Chiefs again. They got Buffalo. Got to see the Chargers. Got to see Carolina. You know, this can go either way, and especially with that young quarterback, Drew Locke. And
right,
I think his seat is warm. You know, if they close down the stretch and it starts getting ugly, I could see them making a coaching change. And also a side note, since Peyton Manning left, John Elway has gone through Gary Kubiak, Vance Joseph, and now Vic Fangio. And he's gone through a number of quarterbacks, too. At a certain point, when are they just going to fire John Elway? Because it's clear to me he cannot evaluate quarterbacks.
I agree.
Moving on. We're going to go to the Los Angeles Chargers and their head coach, Anthony Lynn. The Chargers are 2-4. Kennedy Miller?
Oh, this is tough because I like Anthony Lynn. But these past 2 years, coming off that year that they had with Phillip Rivers where he was an MVP consideration when they went, I think, 13-3, and then got blown out by the Patriots in the divisional game, I think his seat has to be pretty warm because this Chargers team is so talented. If you just look at the roster, I know they've lost Derwin James back-to-back years for season-ending injuries early, but you look at their team with guys like Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram, you know, Keenan Allen, who we were talking about earlier, we think is a top-10 receiver. Mike Williams, they had Melvin Gordon, and now they have Austin Eckler, who's a pretty good running back. You know what I mean? They've got a young talent in Justin Herbert. They've lost games in such crucial ways this year. All like nail-biting games and stuff like that. And so
I don't think we should fire him yet, but it's also something to be said because I think this has been one of the most talented rosters for the last 3 years, and they haven't even got to a conference championship to prove it.
I think it should be warm as well. So they lead the league in losses, in one possession losses. Lose to Kansas City in overtime, 23-20. Lose to Carolina, 21-16. Lose to Tampa Bay, 38-31. Lose to New Orleans, 27-30 in overtime. Right? Like, they've had chances to win these games. You know, they beat Jacksonville today. People are going to start having to ask the question, why can't they win these close games? What isn't getting them over the hump? Right? Because last year we thought the problem was Phillip Rivers, and it very obviously was to a very certain extent because he kept throwing them out of the game, kept throwing the ball to the other team. But Phillip Rivers is gone, and you still can't win close games. You can tell, like, they're close. They're close. Like, they've got a very talented roster, like you mentioned, but they just can't get there. And if they continue to lose close games, I'm not sure if I would have the patience if I was the general manager or the owner. I'm going to say, and that sucks, because Anthony Lynn is a black man.
Yes. I'm rooting for him. And also, something needs to be said for that organization, because they punctured Tyrod's lung.
Boy, I'm going to tell you right now, I'd be suing everybody I can find. I'd sue the draws off that damn doctor.
Like, absolutely.
How did you put a hole in my lung? Like, we don't even need a trial. Absolutely. We don't need a nothing. I'm just going to raise my shirt up in the middle of the courtroom. Y'all can see this hole in the side of my body.
Right. That's the evidence.
Moving on. We're going to go down to the New York Jets and Adam Gase. They ain't won a game. They have the worst roster in football. I'm not sure if they will win a game. They got to fire Adam Gase, because I'm going to be real with you. Like, this is a full-on blaze. Call the fire department. Get the fire extinguisher out, because that thing is smoking. It's too hot for him to sit down. You ever,
the seat should be scorching.
Scorching. Kennedy Miller, I'm going to ask you a question. You ever got in trouble, you know, at the schoolhouse or something like that, and you get your ass whipped when you go home, and it hurts to sit down for a little bit, right? Like, you're trying to sit down gingerly? That's how hot Adam Gase's seat should be. He should be like, can I sit down? It's hot. Still hot. Smoking hot. Like, it's going to burn you.
I think the biggest indictment, besides how bad they are as a football team, but the biggest indictment on Adam Gase this year, and probably last year too, is not even the team that he's coaching. It's the team that he came from. Ryan Tannehill looks like a serviceable quarterback. And I know he's got a good – I know Derrick Henry's really good, and they've got a good team in Tennessee. But we had all but written off Ryan Tannehill as being a bust and not being a good NFL quarterback. And he leaves Adam Gase, and he looks freaking competent. You know, and Adam Gase looks like he's doing coke before every post-game segment. And, you know, I mean, what if Adam Gase gets another head coaching job, for what? Because I remember when he got the Dolphins job, he was, he was Peyton Manning's quarterback coach, I think, in Denver, or he was offensive coordinator, if I'm not mistaken, when Peyton was in Denver. But anything besides that, what has Adam Gase done to warrant getting a head coaching job or to keep one?
I was going to say, how much guruing can you be doing when your team scores 13 points, 7 points, 10 points, 0 points, and 10 points? You ain't doing much guruing.
Absolutely. So, and that's my point. So, if that's your specialty, what post-Peyton Manning have you made look good? What quarterback post-Peyton Manning have you made look good? Because I think he went to Chicago right after, and I think that was like Jay Cutler's last year.
You know, a bad day.
Didn't change. He went to Miami. And had Ryan Tannehill, didn't change. You know, and then you look at what Brian Flores is doing in Miami with a team last year that was desperately trying to lose games on purpose. You know what I mean? Like, they were trying to lose games and still ended up winning 5. And then he's in New York and it's like, what are you doing, man? You don't want to be there. You ain't want to sign Le'Veon Bell. You know, Le'Veon Bell looked like a sorry running back under you. And I don't think Le'Veon is done. I think he still has some more tread in the tires. And if he shows something in Kansas City, I don't know if Adam Gase should even get a coordinator job.
All right, moving on. We're going to switch gears to the NFC. Mike Zimmer and the Minnesota Vikings. They're 1-5. Kenny Miller, how's it looking for him?
Oh, man. I think it's warm. I wouldn't fire Mike Zimmer after just one bad year. He's done a really good job in Minnesota. You know, maybe if Case Keenum wasn't the quarterback, we talk about like a Dak Prescott. I think if Dak Prescott was the quarterback of that Vikings team when they had the Minnesota Miracle year, mm-hmm. I think they could have won a Super Bowl. You know what I mean? I think if Dak Prescott was on that team or any serviceable top 15 quarterback other than Case Keenum, they could have won that Super Bowl. And then last year, you know, they beat the Saints. First playoff game in New Orleans. And so, you know, they're having a rough year. But me and you both really are not high on Kirk Cousins. So, I mean, it's just one of those years. And then I think this offseason is really going to be interesting because I don't think it won't be that many fires because of the excuse that they can make with the no preseason, no training camp, COVID-related stuff, all this stuff. So I think it should be warm, but I don't think it should be, you know, scorching hot.
I think for Mike Zimmer, things should just be looking a little bit toasty.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the big reason, like you said, is Kirk Cousins. Because you've got a top five back in Dalvin Cook. You got a pretty good receiver in Thielen, right? And then your tight ends, mm-hmm. Irv Smith and Kyle Rudolph, they're pretty good. You got a pretty good group defensively, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your problem is clearly Kirk Cousins, but the issue is they just gave him a $66 million extension. And
absolutely.
They don't look, and he is their problem. So if you just gave your problem more time on the job, like what? How much better can we really expect from them, right?
Right.
So you know what? Maybe we're playing Mike Zimmer with some kid gloves. I'm not sure. We're going to show him a little bit of grace because he's saddled with a sorry quarterback. Moving on. Your team, Kennedy Miller, the Dallas Cowboys.
Fire him. I don't care how long he's been there.
Jesus.
The way that this team is playing, the lack of heart that they show, lack of motivation, they're already calling out the coaching staff. Let them go. Alex, when even before Jason Garrett got fired, when he was rumored that it was going to get fired, we talked about this. The Cowboys coach, to be the head coach of the Cowboys is like to be the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, to be the manager of the New York Yankees. If you bring that franchise back to glory, back to prominence, you're getting a gold jacket. You're getting the Hall in Dallas. You won't have to pay for any meals. That is a top three coaching job in all of sports. And we wasted it on Mike McCarthy. There's not much more that I need to see. It's not a preseason or a training camp that needs to go by for me to say, oh, well, you know, I knew I should have stuck with my first hunch. I knew he wasn't good enough. I know he ain't good enough now. No, he ain't. At least Jason clapped. At least he clapped. All I see is him just looking behind his mask.
You know what I'll say, Kennedy Miller?
What?
You should have hired Marvin Lewis.
I know you didn't just say that.
I did. You know why I say you should have hired Marvin Lewis? You know why I say that? Marvin Lewis knows how to deal with dysfunction. Marvin Lewis knows how to deal with a bunch of morons. Marvin Lewis knows how to deal. Look, he found a way to deal with Pac-Man Jones, Vontaze Burfict, Jeremy Hill, Joe Mixon, Geno Atkins.
All on one team.
And I just named like the all take your medication, go to bed early team. And he got them to 10 wins with Andy Dalton as his quarterback. Now, if he can go,
that Bengals team was really good.
Yeah, and the reason he couldn't win playoff games is because he had Andy damn Dalton. So if you think
yeah.
Marvin Lewis can't deal with dysfunction, you think they'd look like this under Marvin Lewis? When Marvin Lewis had talent, that team won 10, 11 games. Now, they couldn't win playoff games because, again, the Red Rocket, but still. Hey, Jerry had been committed to diversity, right? If Jerry Jones would have wanted to had a building a little bit more melanated, he already got a black quarterback. Well, Dak kind of black. Well, Dak be kind of trying to play both sides, giving money to the black people and the police. But, you know, look, you should have hired Marvin Lewis.
You make a fair point. Would we be better with Marvin? Of course we'd be better with Marvin. A couple of things to point out with Marvin. That Bengals staff, let me see. I want to say it had three head coaches. Well, there was Marv. Mike Zimmer was a defensive coordinator.
Jay Gruden.
Hugh Jackson was the offensive coordinator. Jay Gruden, that's who I'm missing. It was Jay Gruden, then it was Hugh Jackson. That were his offensive coordinators. That team, I remember the last year, I used to say, it was a point where I was like, I think the Bengals got the best roster in football. You know, with most of the guys that you just named, especially defensively, they, you know, Carlos Dunlap was good, Geno Atkins, Vontaze Burfict when he wasn't suspended, Pac-Man Jones, you know, all these guys, and then, you know, A.J. Green and Joe Mixon and Jeremy Hill, but it was one game, and I said, this is, and I think this is when Marvin lost his job. But Andy Dalton was hurt, and A.J. McCarron was the quarterback.
You're talking about the Steelers playoff game.
It was the Steelers playoff game. There you go. And they, you know, I thought the Steelers were just going to take it. And Cincinnati came out and balled, right? So they're up by, I think, a field goal, or I think maybe less than the field goal. And Pittsburgh has a ball, two-minute drill, and Vontaze smacks Antonio Brown, smacks the hell out of him. 15-yard penalty, you know, hit helmet to helmet. But then you see Pac-Man pushing the ref.
Get into a fight with
15-yard
penalty. Get into a fight with Joey Porter, the Steelers linebacker coach.
Right. So that's 30 yards. So at that point, I think the Steelers do one more run play, and they're in field goal range. And that's how they lost the game. And I said, Jesus, Marvin, I can root for you. I can only root for you for so long. But you can have a team unravel like this in a playoff game that you're not even supposed to win. Like, they were going to beat them.
We got to leave right there. But we will be right back with more of the Game Plan Podcast on the other side of the break. Don't go too far. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in tacos, S as in sangria, M as in margaritas. Kennedy Miller.
Yes, sir.
Where can they find you on Twitter?
Find me on Twitter at _KennedyMiller_. Again, it's _KennedyMiller_.
Alrighty. We are running up on the last segment of the show here, and we are going to pick some games for next week, Halloween weekend. Mm-hmm. We got some college games, got some pro games, so let's get right to it. We're going to start off with Michigan, Michigan State. Who you got?
I'm going to go with Michigan. I think the time is running a little low for John Harbaugh to really prove that he can do something. At Michigan, we talked about coaches on the hot seat for the NFL. I think he should be on the hot seat at his alma mater in Michigan because he hasn't lived up to expectations. So I'm hoping that Michigan takes this one. I think they will.
You know, it's tough to get really a good read on some of these teams from the Big Ten, given that, you know, they've got dudes out because of COVID protocols and things of the sort. But I think Michigan's got a pretty decent team, probably going to finish second in that division behind Ohio State. I think they should do just fine this weekend against Michigan State. Moving on to the Big 12. Number 6, Oklahoma State versus Texas. Kennedy Miller, go on and tell me how Texas is going to lose.
Yeah, I you know, it used to be when we used to do this show back in your apartment, I would always pick Texas and try and give some type of explanation why, and this was their year. I'm like you. I've given up hope, you know. I've given up hope on Tom Herman. I've given up hope that he can change things around there. Oklahoma State's going to win.
Tom Herman parlayed one good year at University of Houston into the UT coaching job. He ain't been a damn bit of good since. Charlie Strong did not play true freshmen and true sophomores two of his three seasons in Austin for this.
This is like the year that Texas, like, you know, they've got an experienced team. It's a lot of like juniors and seniors on the team now. And if you go by like their recruiting class rank, it's one of the most decorated teams in college football. And they still have the same problems. Can't tackle, can't stop anybody, you know, inconsistent. It's like, is there ever going to be a change?
Let's just hope. This has been a tough 10 years for me as a UT fan. It's been a tough decade. Moving on to the SEC. Number two, Alabama versus Mississippi State. Who you got?
Alabama. In these predictions that we've done, have I ever been wrong picking Alabama? Besides maybe on a national championship prediction, but I think every time I picked them, I've been right. So I'm going to keep picking them.
Same here.
At LSU. But go ahead.
So I'm going to go with Alabama as well. Early on during the offseason, this was a game I actually had circled because I'm thinking in my head, Mike Leach versus Nick Saban, how is this going to go? And judging by Mississippi State's record, they won that one game against LSU to open up the season, and they've been bad ever since. So I'm going to go with Alabama. They're going to be rolling. They're going to be just fine. Devontae Smith's the best receiver in college football. Najee Harris, the best running back in college football. Mac Jones has been exceptional. Alabama by a lot. We're going to move on to the NFL. We've got Pittsburgh and Baltimore. In Baltimore, Kennedy Miller, who you got?
Ooh, I'm going to roll with the hot team. I'm rolling with Pittsburgh. If you remember last year, I said at the beginning of last year, my prediction, Steelers were going to win their division. And Ben Roethlisberger will win the MVP. Uh-huh. Said that at the beginning of last year, the first game last year, he threw out his elbow and was out for the season. But then they traded for Minkah Fitzpatrick and down the stretch had the best defense in the league. And I think went 8-8 with Mason Rudolph and another no-name guy as their quarterback down the stretch. I wasn't too high on him this year because I didn't know how Ben Roethlisberger would look coming off the surgery. But this team is legit, man. And if you talk about quarterback coach combos, it's not too many that I would take over Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Tomlin. They've been through the fire. You know, Ben has taken a lot of flack these past couple of years with the Le'Veon departure and the Antonio Brown and him not, you know, truly being a leader as a quarterback. I think they got something to prove, man. And I think these Steelers are legit.
I'm going to disagree with you here. I'm going to go with Baltimore at home. I think this is going to be one of those classic AFC North slugfests, right?
I agree.
Like, this is going to be an absolute physical knockdown, drag out fight for 15 rounds. Last possession wins. I'm going to give that to Lamar Jackson. If they can keep it close, I think they're going to be able to keep it close, be able to run the football, keep things on schedule, play tough defense. I think Lamar Jackson and the Ravens are going to be able to pull it out. Moving on, New England at Buffalo.
I'm going to roll Buffalo. Cam got benched today. And, you know, this New England team would be different if it was a regular year and all these defensive players hadn't sat out this year due to COVID. But I think Buffalo, you know, these past couple of weeks, they haven't played as well. But I think they are one of the better, well-coached teams. I'm not as big of a basher on Josh Allen as a lot of people are. I think he's pretty good. And I think getting Stephon Diggs really helped that offense. So I think this is Buffalo's year to win that division. I think they'll win this game.
I'm going to disagree with you here. I think New England's going to be able to bounce back. I can't think of too many times in the last two decades I've seen a Patriots team look the way they did today. Out of sorts, confused, not in the right place. Cam Newton did not play well, right? So I think they're going to be able to bounce back just off the strength of this is not the way this football team looks, right? The Patriots do not get blown out. And I think against the Bills team, that you know, that game they played today with the Jets was close, right?
Right.
A divisional game. If New England wants to make the playoffs, they cannot fall to 2-5, right? Like, they're fighting for their life next week. And I think they find a way to get it done. Moving on. Our next game, we're going to finish it up on this one right here. Sunday Night Football. Cowboys. Eagles.
Kennedy Miller. Oh, God.
Kennedy Miller, who you got?
Know why you got to do this to me? I can't pick the Eagles because I hate the Eagles. But the Dallas Cowboys will win because both teams suck. The score will probably be 5-3. So there, that's my observation. The Eagles are terrible. And that's another person. He's won a Super Bowl, but no. He should be warm. I'm not gonna say Doug Peterson should be on the hot seat. It should be a little warm because this team is kind of like us, but I thought the Eagles would be much better. You know what I mean? Last year they made it in, but you know, they weren't as good. We understand they had a lot of injuries and Greg Ward beat us and all that stuff. But because I knew you were about to say Greg Ward and Boston Scott and all these jokers came in and they beat us when we needed to win. But this year I thought the Eagles were, you know, gonna be our only competition, and they've been terrible just like us. So I think we'll pull it out, but this point, who cares?
I'm going to pick the Eagles to win this game. And not because the Eagles,
I don't blame you.
They are injured. No Zach Ertz, no Dallas Goedert. Kind of a lot like last year, Miles Sanders is out. They back out there with Greg Ward and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. They got those dudes out there again. They got, mm-hmm. You know, they running in Jalen Hurts every 4 or 5 plays to run short yardage packages. Carson Wentz is trying to make do. But they're not very good either. The Cowboys are more talented, but they're not. They're poorly coached. And y'all might be starting some dude named Ben DiNucci.
Ben DiNucci.
Yeah. DiNucci, whatever the hell his name is, right? Y'all going to be starting that dude. Y'all need to call the doggone New Orleans Saints and ask them what they want for Jameis Winston. That's what you need to do. Because what the hell else you got to lose? You do. Would you rather start Jameis or Ben DiNucci? So if it's going to be Carson Wentz in the final minute, Carson Wentz and Ben DiNucci, I'm going to go with Carson Wentz. We are out of time here on the Game Plan Podcast. Kennedy Miller, my man, I got to thank you for hanging out with me once again, dog. Let the folks know where they can find you on Twitter.
Find me on Twitter @_KennedyMiller_. Again, underscore Kennedy, as in the former president, John F. And the former wrestler, Mr. Kennedy. @KennedyMiller_.
All right. You can follow me on Twitter @AlexGoodwinTSM. Again, that's on Twitter @AlexGoodwinTSM. Follow the show on Twitter, GamePlanTSM. That's T as in Texas, S as in South Dakota, M as in Maryland. For Kennedy Miller, my name is Alex Goodwin. This has been the Game Plan Podcast, and we will see you next time.